tousling her hair loose. Black waves coiled above her head in a wicked tangle. Oh my! Irsa suppressed a grin at her sister's language. Who taught you to say such things? Was it the Caliph? I hate it here. Though Sherzad's unwillingness to answer even the most innocuous question stung, Irsa ignored the twinge. Give it some time. You'll find it's not so terrible. She linked arms with her sister and pulled her close. Of all places, why are we in this godforsaken desert? Why has the old sheikh granted us refuge? Sherzad spoke in as low a voice as the wind would permit. I am not privy to the details. I only know he sold Uncle Reza horses and weapons. His tribe trades in both. Perhaps that is why we are allowed to stay. She paused in thought. Or perhaps it is merely a result of his closeness with Tariq. The sheikh treats him as though he were a son. So then, has he not joined forces with Tariq and the other soldiers? Is he not involved in the war effort? Sherzad's brows drew together in confusion. I do not think so, Irsa retorted. But when I attend the next war council, I'll be sure to gather more details for you. Sherzad shoved tendrils of hair behind an ear and rolled her eyes. As they continued crossing the sands toward their father's tent, Irsa watched her sister make a slow scan of their surroundings. Her eyes trailed Sherzad's until they fell upon a thin figure in the distance, mirroring their measured study. A bony elbow jabbed Irsa's side. Who is that boy? Ouch! Irsa jabbed back. You mean Spider? What? Oh, I call him Spider, on account of his gangly limbs and his tendency to lurk. He arrived with the Emir of Karaj. I believe he's the Emir's distant relative. I think his name is Taimur, or Tajvar, or something of the sort. She waved a dismissive hand. He has a disconcerting look about him. Irsa frowned. He's a bit odd, but he's harmless, Shazi. Sherzad pinched her lips together and said nothing. Irsa pulled back the flap, and they ducked inside their father's tent. In the arid heat of the afternoon, the darkness within had grown even more stifling. They lit an oil lamp and prepared another tumbler of water, fresh mint, and tea herbs. Their father choked down the mixture as he had that morning, still muttering and clutching the ridiculous book in his arms. Sherzad fanned herself with both hands. He's drenched in sweat. We should change his wrappings and wash his face and neck. Irsa poured water into an earthen bowl and removed clean strips of linen from her satchel. She bent to swirl the cloth in the cool water. Are you going to tell Baba about the magic carpet? He would be so excited to learn he's passed his abilities on to you. Smiling to herself, Irsa wrung out the cloth. Baba? Sherzad began. Sherzad was leaning over him, looking perplexed. A flash of something passed across her face. Alarm? Irsa dropped the linen and swiveled to her father's side. What's wrong? Irsa asked. Did he open his eyes? Sherzad shook her head. No, I thought I heard something outside, but I must have been mistaken. The ends of her lips turned into the beginnings of a smile. I know the desert enjoys playing tricks on a weary mind. If you'll start with Baba's face, I'll wash his arms. Are you quite certain? Irsa pressed. Quite. It was a firm rejoinder, one that could not be ignored. And though Irsa set about working in silence with Sherzad to cleanse their father's skin of sweat and grime, she knew her sister was lying. What happened? Irsa whispered. The instant their father's tent flap fluttered shut behind them. Tell me the truth, Shazi, or I'll... Sherzad wrapped a hand around Irsa's wrist to pull her near. I thought I heard something outside the tent, she replied in a hushed tone, and I didn't want anyone to overhear us speaking about matters of import. You think someone is spying on us? Irsa couldn't imagine why anyone would care to listen to their conversation. I don't know. It's possible. Tugging the strap of her satchel tight across her body, Irsa quickened her pace. Her gaze drifted from side to side. For the few weeks she'd been here, she'd never felt unsafe. Not even for a moment. She spent most mornings with Aisha and the children, and in the afternoons, Rahim was teaching her to ride horses more proficiently. Who would threaten two young girls of common birth? As Irsa caught a sideways glance at her sister, she remembered. Sherzad was no longer the mere daughter of a lowly keeper of books. She was the Khalifa of Khorasan, an asset for any enemy of Khalid ibn al-Rashid, of which there were many. In the same instant the realization dawned on her, Irsa banished the thought. Sherzad had been here for only a day. Her sister was being ridiculous, paranoid, clearly the result of living alongside a monster and fearing for her life on a daily basis. Irsa bent through the opening of their tent. A clammy hand grabbed her by the neck and flung her inside. She squealed. Long fingers gripped her by the nape. Hot breath washed across her skin. "It wasn't supposed to be you," a low voice rasped in her ear. "I'm sorry." She blinked hard and fast, forcing her eyes to adjust to the dim light. "Spider?"
"What are you doing?"
Irsa cried. "Let her go." Sherzad stood at the entrance, one hand on the jeweled dagger at her waist. Her features were impassive, but something savage moved deep in her eyes, as though she had expected such a threat. The thought chilled Irsa to the marrow of her bones.
"Is that an order, my lady?"
Spider spat in Sherzad's direction. "No, it's a promise."
"A promise of what?"
Sherzad angled her head ever so slightly. "That if you let my sister go, I'll stay here with you. I'll listen to your grievances. Whatever I can do to rectify them, I'll do. I promise." He blew another hot spate of air against Irsa's neck.
"I don't believe you."
She could feel him trembling behind her. "You should." Sherzad took a step forward. "Because I wasn't finished. It's also a promise that, if you don't let my sister go, you will be the one to hear my grievances. And mine are not of words, but of fists and steel." Spider rasped a laugh.
"Fitting, as you are the whore of a bloodthirsty monster."
Sherzad flinched, and in that tiny flicker of pain, Irsa saw a wellspring. Outraged, Irsa began struggling against him. He banded his forearms tighter around her waist and neck. She started to choke.
"Irsa!"
Sherzad held up her hands in surrender.
"Let her go!"
"Give me your dagger."
"Let her go, and I'll give you my dagger."
Sherzad removed the blade from her waistband.
"Your dagger first,"
Spider said, his fingers digging into the tender skin beneath Irsa's ear.
Sherzad!
Irsa croaked. A bead of sweat trickled down Sherzad's brow. "I'll give it to you. Just let Irsa go. Your quarrel is with me."
"Drop it first, and she can leave. But if she goes to get help,
if I so much as hear the white falcon outside this tent, I'll kill you."
"She won't get Tariq."
The dagger plinked by her sister's feet. "She won't do anything." Irsa felt him relax in the same instant her chest pulled tight from within. Sherzad thought her incapable of anything. Completely and utterly useless. And, in truth, what had she done to prove otherwise? Spider loosened his hold on her neck.
"Kick it toward me, and I'll let her go."
Sherzad gave Irsa a small smile of reassurance, then towed the dagger in his direction. He released Irsa and shoved her toward the entrance. When Irsa looked back at Sherzad in hesitation, her sister spurred her onward with a warning glance. Irsa wanted to stay, wanted to beg Spider to see reason, but she was afraid. She'd already cost Sherzad her dagger and didn't know what assistance she could provide beyond a poignant plea. So she burst into the desert sun, her heart clamoring in her chest and her pride laid waste at her feet. Frantic, she began searching for help. The eyes she most needed to find belonged to a tall boy with broad shoulders and the easy smile of a summer afternoon. A boy who had loved her sister since they were children. A boy who would thrash first and ask questions later. Tariq would know what to do. Tariq would wring Spider's scrawny neck. Irsa stumbled through the sand toward Tariq's tent, the blood roaring in her ears. Irsa. She tried to ignore the familiar voice nearby, the voice of the boy she most wanted to find, a boy whose kind face she found herself searching for time and again. No, Irsa did not need Rahim. She needed Tariq, a boy of determination and action. Irsa. Rahim fell into step beside her, his gait unfaltering. "Why are you running through? Where is Tariq?" she gasped. "On a scouting expedition to a nearby emirate." He angled into her path, his eyes narrowing. "Why? Is something wrong?" Irsa shook her head, her fear spiking in a hot flash. "No, I need Tariq." Her gaze darted every which way, frantic. "Why?" A rush of air flew from her lips. "Because I have to do something." She pushed past him. "You don't understand. Shazi..." He took her by the shoulders, his touch strangely soothing, strengthening. "Tell me what you need." No, neither of them was a leader. She'd always known Rahim to be a boy who followed, just as she was a girl who ran, a girl who failed to do anything, save spare her own skin. She should have grabbed Sherzad's dagger, or done something. The guilt clawed at her stomach. Irsa began to tremble, even beneath the sweltering sun. She felt Rahim's grip tighten on her shoulders, offering more strength. Irsa stood straight, clenching her fists. Shazi would not give up. She would not give in to fear, nor would she waver in the sand like a ridiculous ninny. She would take action, fight to the death, and be smart about it, as only Sherzad could. Though Irsa continued to shake, she kept her voice steady as she worked through the beginnings of a plan. "Did Tariq take his falcon with him?"
"No."
A flicker of puzzlement passed across Rahim's face. "Zoraya scouted the terrain in advance this morning, so he left her behind to rest."
"Rahim!" Irsa took a breath. "Will you do something for me?"
He did not even bother to reply. He simply held out his hand. And Irsa took it. An indelible line. Sherzad refused to be cowed by the gangly boy standing before her. In another world, in another life, she might have pitied him. But he threatened Irsa. An indelible line had been drawn. And despite his best efforts to conceal it, she could see his fingers shaking around her dagger. "Move slowly." "What is your name?" she began in a quiet tone. He sucked in a sharp breath.
"I'll be the one to ask the questions."
She stood still as he paced around her in a circle. His agitation was worsening. "How?" With every erratic footfall, streams of light bounded across his face, casting his patchy beard in sinister shadow. Sherzad clasped her hands before her. "Pardon? How did you survive?" She chose her next words with care. "I told stories." He halted mid-step. His disdain was clear before he even spoke. "You told stories? You expect me to believe that monster kept you alive because you amused him?" Sherzad leveled a withering stare in his direction. "Believe what you choose to believe, but the proof stands before you all the same." He made a sound of choked disbelief. She almost recoiled from its harshness.
"Are you trying to provoke me? Are you truly that big a fool?"
For the second time, Shahrazad lifted her palms in a placating gesture.
I'm not trying to provoke you.
She waited patiently, hoping the boy would take the bait.
Taimur. My name is Taimur.
Taimur. Shahrazad curved her lips into a careful smile.
I'm not trying to provoke you, she repeated. I'm trying to understand you.
A poor choice of words. Shahrazad realized it as soon as they passed into comprehension.
Understand me? Taimur snarled. You couldn't possibly understand me.
Please just tell me. He charged at her. Long fingers closed around her throat like a cuff. Shahrazad wrapped both hands around his wrist, trying to stay his grip. She stared back into his flame-filled eyes, determined not to flinch. She was not afraid. This boy, this skinny man-child, was far more afraid than she would ever be. The sweat fell in steady trickles down either side of his face.
How could you possibly understand?
He was shaking so hard it made his voice quake.
You're alive! The monster let you live!
With his other hand, he placed the tip of her dagger beside her chin. The blade was still ensconced in its jeweled sheath.
Where did you get this?
Taimur examined the delicate etchings carved into the scabbard. He ran his thumb along the seed pearls and the tiny garnets embedded in the hilt. The emeralds at its base flashed with an evil light.
Taimur. Is it his?
His gaze moved from the dagger back to Shahrazad.
Did he give it to you?
She said nothing.
Answer me!
He shook her by the throat.
You promised me answers!
Yes, he gave it to me.
And if I kill you with it?
His voice drained to a whisper.
Like he killed my Roya.
Shahrazad swallowed thickly. She knew that name. One of so many. One in a sea of scattered letters. In a storm of remembrances.
I'm so sorry. Don't you dare apologize.
The tips of his fingers pushed into her skin. His pain radiated through Shahrazad, from his hand to her heart, touching an old wound that would never fully heal.
Shiva. What do you want from me?
She asked, her eyes squeezed shut, barring him from her pain, if only for a moment more.
The truth.
She swallowed again.
What do you wish to know?
Where your loyalties lie. Do you matter to Khalid ibn al-Rashid? He spat the name as though it were a curse.
Does he care for you?
I cannot speak to his feelings. He guards them well. A half-truth. She could manage this if pressed further. The blood returned to her clenched fingers in a rush.
Then speak to your own. Does the monster matter to you?
Lie. No. Shahrazad locked her jaw. He does not.
So you belong to the White Falcon still?
I belong to me.
Where is your heart, Shahrazad al-Khaizuran?
His voice was coarse in its insistence.
In an alley by the souk, in a night of oblivion, in the promise of tomorrow. With Tariq Imran al-Ziyad.
The lie burned on her tongue.
Where it always will be.
She kept her eyes closed, knowing they might betray her. Taimur took in a harsh breath. It rattled in his chest, then filled the space between them, hot and fetid. In, then out, twice more. At his silence, a sense of unease kindled within her. He pulled her close, too close. His warm breath prickled her forehead.
Did the monster hurt Roya?
In his sudden closeness, she understood his meaning and was horrified by it. Her eyes flashed open.
He didn't touch her.
He studied her in awful stillness. So very close. Her pulse ratcheted in her throat, pounding with a restless incessancy.
You told him stories, as you are telling me stories now.
His resolve firmed as he spoke,
and Shahrzad knew she could no longer stand idle. Knocking his arm aside, she rammed into his shoulder and made to flee. With vicious precision, Taimur seized her tight, taking her feet out from under her and slamming Shahrzad to the ground. All the air was knocked from her chest. She gasped once, the pain in her side searing as she struggled to catch her breath. For the first time, a cold wave of fear coursed down her back. This skinny weasel of a boy was stronger than she. He was tall and wily, and she could not fight him off forever, nor could she reason with him. But perhaps there was another way, a way of diversion and lies. A surge of fury chased after the fear. Shahrzad gripped the wrist at her throat, digging her nails into his skin. Whatever lingering pity she might have had for him melted in her rage. The indelible line had deepened to a chasm. He was preying upon the basest of fears, a fear Shahrzad had long held in the darkest recesses of her mind. "What are you doing, Taimur?" She fought to keep her voice steady. The two sides of the man-child battled for control as he glared down at her. He was so very afraid, blustering and shuddering through his hard-won triumph. She would not lie here in silence as he warred with his convictions. "Are you going to rape me?" Shahrzad demanded. "Or are you merely trying to frighten me with a thought? And what do you hope to achieve by such uninspired villainy?" Taimur winced at her boldness, her nerve at bringing his shameful intentions to light. Shahrzad knew her taunts were foolish, knew they might further provoke him, but she could not, would not, comply in the face of such cowardice. Not while there was still breath left in her body. For a moment, Taimur seemed to waver. Then he clenched his jaw, bracing himself above her. With surprising deftness, he unsheathed the dagger and positioned the blade beside her face again. "You must matter to him, or he wouldn't have let you live." The feel of the cold steel against her skin did not frighten her. She clung to rage instead. "Khalid ibn al-Rashid values precious little in life. I amused him for a time. Do not seek reason beyond that. You said it yourself. He is a monster." She spoke in clear tones, her barely leashed fury underscoring each syllable. "You're still lying to me. Do you mean to tell me the Caliph of Khorasan would not care if harm were to befall you?" "As I said before, I cannot speak to his feelings." Taimur sneered down at her. "You expect me to believe the mighty King of Kings wouldn't be angry for what has transpired today?" "No. Khalid would break every bone in your body for what you've done." Shahrzad stared up at him coolly. "If you think Roya would condone your actions in this moment, nothing I can do or say will matter." She choked back the rising bile. "But I can't imagine any girl with real love in her heart would ever approve of such a thing." His hold on her neck flagged as his face fell to despair. Each of his features wilted into the next. In that instant, Shahrzad saw how much Taimur had loved Roya. How much he'd lost of himself when he'd lost her. But it was no excuse. There would never be an excuse for this. Successful in achieving a distraction, Shahrzad now sought to disarm him. Ever so cautiously, she shifted one hand from around his wrist. While Taimur contended with his inner demons, Shahrzad let her hand drop to search the ground for a potential weapon. A rock, a tumbler, a bowl, a stick, anything. As her fingers scrabbled for purchase, they fell upon a piece of dried meat. Taimur remained lost in thought, his fingers loose at her throat. So Shahrzad let her gaze drift sidelong in one quick pass of the tent. Even in the dim light, she could see that several strips of dried meat had been slid under the bottom of the tent in her direction. They were the type of dried meat Tariq usually fed to Zoraya.
Tariq can't want me to bait his falcon.
This did not seem at all like something Tariq would have devised. If Tariq knew what was transpiring within the tent's walls, he would have ripped it from the ground and used its ropes to hang Taimur in the wind. Tariq, brash at every turn, would have been loath to drum up a stealth attack of any sort, and definitely not one involving Zoraya.
If not Tariq, then who devised such a harebrained scheme?
Sherzad's eyes combed the walls of the tent.
And where is that accursed falcon?
One thing was for certain. If this plan was intended to provide a distraction, it would prove to be an interesting one. Sherzad curled her fingers around the strip of dried meat. Like a mongoose to a cobra, her hand shot up to the collar of Taimur's kamis. She lodged the strip in the hollow behind his neck. Momentarily stunned, he released the dagger and slapped both his hands to his nape as though he were trying to quash a marauding insect. In a flurry of feathers and flashing talons, Zoraya came screeching through the entrance of the tent, straight for Taimur's collar. He screamed and toppled sideways off Sherzad. The falcon continued attacking him. Her wings spread wide. Sherzad seized another piece of dried meat while Taimur tried in vain to fend off Zoraya's onslaught. Before Sherzad had a chance to form a coherent thought, Rahim al-Din Walad burst into the tent with Irsa on his heels. Strips of dried meat were clasped in Irsa's fists. Rahim grabbed Sherzad by the arm and hauled her to her feet.
Go, both of you.
He ripped his scimitar from its scabbard, his expression stern.
I will not,
Irsa replied, her voice surprisingly strong and steady.
Not until I know you and Shazi are safe.
Sherzad, too, refused with a pointed glance. When Rahim began to protest, she turned a deaf ear his way. He muttered a curse and moved to one side, his scimitar held at the ready.
Zoraya, stop this at once!
The falcon ignored the command, so Sherzad whistled softly. Zoraya squawked in reply, but ceased her assault. Stooping to collect her discarded dagger, Sherzad stepped before a cowering Taimur. His neck and hands were scratched bloody, and the front of his trousers was soaked. An acrid tang filled the air. Utterly indifferent, Sherzad held the piece of dried meat before her. The falcon took it in her talons and landed beside Sherzad's feet, her blue-gray feathers spread in protective shadow. Sherzad glowered down at Taimur.
If you ever touch me again, I'll rip off your sorry excuse for manhood and feed it to the falcon.
Then she stepped closer, brandishing her unsheathed dagger.
But if you even look at my sister again, I'll kill you outright.
A Gateway Between Worlds. Sherzad knew she was dreaming, knew it and did not care, for she was home. Her bare feet trod upon cool stone as they made their way down the cavernous corridors toward the doors of her chamber. With her heart in her throat, she took hold of one handle and pushed it open. It was dark, a deep blue dark, the kind that brought the cold with it, no matter the temperature. The marble floor was covered in a gently curling fog. It pooled waist deep, like thick white smoke, from wall to wall. As she took a slow step forward, it parted around her like a ghostly sea, cleaved by the prow of a haunted ship. A warm light began to glow in the center of the chamber. It hung above her bower, a silent sentinel, surrounded by a veil of diaphanous silk. In the middle of a platform of cushion sat a lone figure, shrouded in shadow. Khalid? Sherzad moved through the fog at a quicker pace.
her eyes squinting through the blue darkness and the gossamer veil, struggling to catch a glimpse of the face she so longed to see. The figure shifted, moved aside a swath of spider silk. "No, Shazi John, I am not he, but I hope you'll forgive this intrusion." The figure smiled at her with the knowing smile of secrets past, present, and future. And Sherzad stumbled, barely squelching a cry. A bubble of laughter burst from the jewel-toned cushions, so familiar and so full of light that it tore at Sherzad's heartstrings. How many times had she wished to hear that sound just once more? She'd been willing to kill for it. "Shiva?" Sherzad whispered in disbelief as she rounded the foot of the bed and reached for the silk curtain. "Come," Shiva said, patting the space beside her. Sherzad's hands shook as she pushed aside a pane of gossamer and knelt onto the cushions. As if in a trance, she stared at her best friend, waiting for her to disappear, waiting for the crushing emptiness that was sure to follow. Shiva smiled, impish and full of life. A single dimple marred her left cheek, as perfectly imperfect as always. The image tore at yet another heartstring. For just as Sherzad knew this to be a dream, she knew she would have to wake at some point and face this for the lie that it was. The dimple appeared again as Shiva hooked a fall of dark hair behind an ear. "Silly goose, just because we're in a dream doesn't mean this is a lie." "So you're in my head now?" Sherzad retorted. "Of course, I've always been here." Shiva rested her chin on one knee. "I've just been waiting until you needed me." "But..." Sherzad caught herself, surprised by a sudden wash of anger. "I've needed you so many times, Shiva." "No, you haven't. I've watched you. You've done splendidly on your own." The edges of Shiva's eyes crinkled with pride. "But I haven't," Sherzad continued. "I've made so many mistakes. I fell in love with the boy responsible for your death." "You did, and that was difficult to watch at times, especially the morning you almost died."
"I betrayed you."
"No, you goose, you didn't betray me. I told you, I was here the whole time, and I have a confession to make." Shiva's eyes drifted sideways, sparkling with sly awareness, filled with vibrant light. "The moment I saw him running toward you that morning, I knew you were going to save him. Just as he saved you." When Shiva reached a hand toward hers, Sherzad jumped at its warmth. It felt so real, so achingly alive. Again, Shiva smiled, her slender shoulders easing forward with lissome grace. "It feels real because you remember me this way, and it's lovely to be remembered as warm and perfectly imperfect." Shiva laced her fingers through Sherzad's and held tight. For a moment, the tension in Sherzad's throat made it difficult to speak.
"I'm so sorry for loving him, Shiva John. So sorry for not being stronger."
"What a ridiculous thing to apologize for." Shiva's fine-boned features looked doll-like in her outrage. "You should know better. Never apologize for such nonsense again. You of all people should know what happens when you disobey me." She shook a fist, laughing teasingly as she brought to mind their many childhood squabbles. Sherzad could not help but join in her laughter until its chorus filled the space around them.
"I don't want to wake up."
The laughter died on Sherzad's lips, its echo calling back to her from beyond the double doors, from a gateway between worlds.
"And I don't want you to wake up," Shiva said. "Yet, when the time comes, you will wake up all the same."
"Perhaps we should just stay here."
"I think not." Shiva's mouth crooked into a melancholy smile. "After all, you were not looking for me when you first arrived. You were looking for him. It was not an accusation, merely an observation. Shiva had always been like that, incapable of withholding the truth, but incapable of cruelty. A rare kind of person, the best kind of friend. Sherzad averted her gaze.
I don't know that I can ever look for him again. Not with the curse.
Then you must break it, Shiva interrupted. That is beyond question. What remains is how you intend to go about doing so. Have you made a plan? Though Sherzad had intended to seek Musa Zaragoza soon for this exact purpose, she could not answer Shiva. She wasn't yet sure how to proceed. Even as a child, she'd gone through much of life on instinct. That and sheer nerve. It was Shiva who had been the planner. Shiva who had always thought ahead of what was to come. See, Shiva said, her forehead smoothing. This is why I came to you tonight, my dearest love. You're lost, and it simply will not do. Sherzad watched as the fog spread toward the ceiling, wrapping its wraith-like arms around the platform and curling about the single taper above.
I don't know where to begin, she admitted, her voice fading into the fog.
Why don't you start by saying aloud what it is you wish for? Could she even dare to say such a thing? After all the death and bloodshed and senseless destruction, it seemed like the worst kind of selfishness. To build her world upon a bower of bones. So tiresome, Shiva nudged her in jest. This is your dream, you goose. If you cannot say what it is you desire in your own dream, then where can you dare to say it? Sherzad saw herself reflected in Shiva's gaze. It was a shell of the girl she knew. A girl hunched forward, reticent. A girl absent from life and of life. She squared her shoulders. I want to be with Khalid. I want my father to be well. And I want the curse to be broken. There she is, Shiva said, amusement leavening her tones. But are such things possible? Sherzad countered. For they do not seem so. Then how does one go about making the impossible possible? Sherzad shrugged, her expression morose. You'd have better luck asking me how to make a goat fly. Very well, then, Shiva nodded, an air of solemnity about her. How does one make a goat fly? Tie it to a very large kite? It wouldn't get far, as it's tied to a string. Be serious. I'm very serious, Shiva laughed, letting the sound carry beyond the encroaching fog and past the silent sentinel above. What if you were to put the goat on your floating carpet? Perhaps it would fly then. Her eyes shone with a suspicious light. Don't be ridiculous. It was just a thought. Shiva waved a hand through a whirl of white smoke. But if you ask me, the best way to go about flying is to cut the strings tying you down. Her words began to sound muffled, as though she were underwater, yet her smile continued to burn bright. Cut the strings, Shazi. Fly. Sherzad woke with a start. Their tent was awash in black. Her sister's breaths had long ago lapsed into the rhythm of a deep sleep, and the sound of a lulling desert wind buffeted the stitched walls. Her throat was dry, but her heart was full. She waited for the crushing emptiness to follow when she realized her dream had ended with so many things left unsaid. It never came. For the first time, since she'd fled the city of Ray nearly a week ago, she didn't feel lost and quite so alone. She had found a means to achieve her purpose, and her purpose had a weight she could bear, something she could truly fight for.
Cut the string, Shazi. Fly. Thank you, Shiva.
Careful not to disturb Irsa, Shahrazad stepped into her sandals to take in some air. She stole her sister's shamina and draped the long triangle of cloth over her head to shield herself from a chilly desert night. Then she made her way to the entrance of the tent, securing its flap shut behind her, before sprawling across the body lying in wait outside.
Oof!
Shahrazad rolled into the sand. Strong hands grabbed her, pinning her down. A vision of a hooded soldier flashed through her mind, an angry soldier with a scarab brand and a weapon meant for war. She struck out against a wall of muscle, slapped at a face hewn from stone, stared back into eyes the silver of sharp knives. Tariq's heart pounded over hers.
"Get off me," she said, dismayed to feel her cheeks flush.
He pushed to his feet, taking her with him in one lithe movement.
"What are you? What the hell?"
She shoved away from him, crossing her arms. He knocked the sand from his hair with a vicious swipe of a hand.
"You first," Tariq said in a sullen voice that brought to mind a much younger version of himself,
one with a lazy smile and a penchant for pranks, one Shahrazad much preferred at that moment.
"That's quite gallant of you. After you've ignored me for the better part of a week, like a boy half your age with twice your charm."
His lips stayed poised between silence and speech for the span of several breaths.
"You are awful, Shazi, just awful."
He rubbed a palm across his face, but not before Shahrazad saw the look of aggrievement he failed to mask. She squeezed her elbows, refusing to reach out and comfort him. No matter how much she wanted to, no matter how natural it felt to comfort the boy she'd loved for so long.
"I know I'm awful, so it begs the question, why are you here?"
"I've asked myself that same question several times, especially as I lay in the cold sand, keeping watch over an awful girl, one with little sense of gratitude and no sense of loyalty." It was as though he'd doused her with icy water. Fending off a fresh wave of guilt, she whirled away, her cheeks aflame. Tariq chased after her, taking hold of her arm. Shahrazad threw him off.
"Don't touch me, Tariq Imran Ilziad! Don't you dare!"
She was horrified to feel the sting of tears behind her eyes. Not once had she cried in the past few days. Not when they'd found her father's huddled figure on a cloud-darkened slope. Not when she'd turned to take in a final glimpse of her burning city behind her. Not even when she'd learned Tariq had promised Jalal never to bring her back. Tariq drew her close without a second thought.
"Stop it!"
She splayed both hands against his chest as angry tears began to well.
"I don't need you!"
"You deserve someone who will feel you at her side without needing to see you. And I've only felt that way about one boy."
"Stop trying to hurt me, you awful girl," he said grimly. "It won't work. At least not in the way you hope it will."
Hot tears slipped down her face. Yet she refused to lean on him, refused to succumb to such weakness. With a weary sigh, Tariq wrapped his arms around her. They felt solid, certain, safe. They felt like everything she'd ever loved about being young and free. The scent of sand and salt on his skin, the wild feeling of falling and knowing someone would always be there to catch her, or at the very least, tend to her wounds. The newness of all things, and of love especially. "Rahim told me what happened." Tariq's fingers shifted to the nape of her neck, as they had so many times before, so many years past. He lowered his voice. It rumbled, rich and resonant, against her, almost decadent, a luxury she no longer needed nor deserved.
"I'll beat that boy bloody for even thinking such things."
"No," Shahrazad pushed away from him. "It isn't your place. I've already spoken to Tamor. He won't pursue the matter further."
Tariq's eyes flashed.
My police?
I've handled the matter, Tariq. Do nothing, as it would serve no purpose, save to shed more blood. And I've had enough of that.
She shouldered her way past him. He cut her off, his jaw jutting forward, his fists at his sides.
Would you shackle the boy king in such a manner?
Don't compare yourself to Khalid. It's childish and beneath you.
Tariq winced, but stood his ground.
Answer me, Shazi. Would you tell him it wasn't his place to rage against this boy for what he did to you?
She paused.
Yes.
And he would listen to you?
His brows gathered in disbelief.
He would listen.
Then do exactly as he pleased.
You're lying, Tariq scoffed. I don't believe for a moment that butcher you call a husband would let that boy see another dawn after what he did to you.
What Khalid would do is none of your concern.
She was dangerously close to shouting. And I'm finished discussing this incident and my butcher of a husband with you.
Sherzad sliced a hand through the air with finality.
So now you think it's your place to control what happens in this camp?
Tariq said.
Is that why that sniveling boy was returned to his people like a child to be scolded? Did you honestly think?
I honestly thought nothing would be served from shedding more blood. Taimura was taken to the Emir of Karaj's tent to be dealt with accordingly.
And it is my place to decide how to deal with this matter. It is not,
she jabbed a finger into his chest,
your place to dole out justice on my behalf.
Do you truly believe the Emir will punish him for what he did today?
He won't. And now I have no idea where Taimur is, for I doubt that fiend was sent away to be dealt with, as you'd so like to believe. He's gone, and with him, all sense of justice.
Tariq threw his arms wide, his face marred by exasperation.
Did you know Taimur was set to marry into the Emir's family? It's possible the Emir even put him up to the task.
You will not seek revenge on my behalf, Tariq Imran al-Ziyad. I forbid...
He grabbed her by the shoulders. I will do as I damned well please, Sherzad al-Khayzuran. His voice was raw in its torment. I denied myself what I wanted once out of principle, and not a day goes by that I don't regret that decision with every fiber of my being.
The sound of his anguish spiraled up into a desert night, across a vast spread of tiny stars, through Sherzad's very skin. Without a word, Sherzad took his hand and led him into the desert, far beyond the enclave of tents. When she finally turned to face him, Tariq appeared to have aged a decade in a matter of moments. They stared at each other across a small sea of glittering sand. Across years of friendship and trust, seemingly lost in an instant.
Do you ever think about that night?
Tariq could not meet her eyes as he posed the quiet question. For a time, she was unsure how to respond.
You did the right thing, Sherzad said, studying the infinite grains as they slid around her toes.
I put you in an impossible situation. An inappropriate one.
That's not what I asked you.
She lifted her gaze.
Yes, I thought about it.
He shifted from one foot to the other. This boy who was never awkward, hurting her heart with his uncommon awkwardness.
May I ask why you came to my room that night?
Tariq deserved her honesty, for all those stolen kisses in shadowed corners. For all those years of unfailing love. For starting a war to save her. She held his gaze, though the ache in her chest made her want to run far and fast.
Because I wanted to feel. Sherzad. I wanted... No, needed to feel something.
There was a gentle resolve to her words.
I thought that if I lost myself in your arms... I might feel something again. Then I could mourn for Shiva and move on. But you were right to turn me away. I never resented you for it. Please believe me when I say that." She finished in a soft tone. Tariq was silent for a long while. She watched the pain in his eyes fade, replaced by bitter resignation. "I believe you. It doesn't change the fact that I've resented myself almost every day since." He took two steps toward her and stopped, hesitant. Sherzad sensed his indecision. Her fingers gripped the folds of Irsa's shamina. "He's waiting for me to ask him why, and he's afraid of what will happen when I do." Her toes curled within her sandals, grinding the silt against her skin. "Why have you resented yourself?" Tariq pressed his lips into a thin line. The muscles in his neck leapt out as he swallowed hard. He appeared to be arranging his words before speaking, again so uncharacteristic of her first love. Then his eyes found hers and held them, fierce in their conviction. "Because I know that, had I given us both what we wanted that night, you would be my wife now, instead of his." Her head snapped back, aghast. Is that what you thought I was doing?" Sherzad managed to sputter. "That I went to your room as the daughter of a poor librarian, planning to leave as the wife of a future emir?" She glared up at him, propping her arms akimbo. "It was not my intention to force you into marriage, you arrogant ass. Had I shared your bed that night, I would never have expected you to propose marriage the following day." "My God, is that what you think I'm saying? What else am I supposed to think when..." He shot forward, covering her mouth with his hand, silently pleading for a stay of execution. After a beat, Sherzad nodded, though her indignation hummed through the air. Tariq removed his palm, and she detected the faintest hint of amusement in his expression, a trace of the boy she'd always known, and greatly missed in the past few days. With a deepening frown, Sherzad seized the edges of Irsa's shamina and folded them across her chest. "Well then, what did you mean to say?" "I meant to say," he began anew, "that if you'd stayed with me that night, I would have gone to see your father the next morning." She opened her mouth to protest, and he resumed his silent entreaty. Then he stepped closer. "But it would not have been because I felt obligated to go," Tariq said, his hands coming to rest on her shoulders, tentatively at first, then with a decisive weight. "It would have been because I did not want to wait a single day more. And it would have been wrong. My cousin had been murdered a fortnight before. My aunt had thrown herself from her balcony 3 days later. How could I go to your father, to my parents, and ask to marry you?" His features had softened while he spoke, though his voice had lost none of its intensity. In that moment, Sherzad was reminded of how all eyes managed to stray toward him in a room, unbidden, of how he took up too much space and never seemed to notice. His hands fell loose at his sides as he waited for her to collect her thoughts and speak. When she did, it was her turn to feel awkward and at a loss. "I would never have expected you to do such a thing." Again, a trace of amusement flashed across his face. "You continue to wound me, you awful girl, because I know, had I spent a single night with you, I would never have wished for us to be parted from that day forward." Sherzad wanted to stop him from speaking further, from saying anything he might regret. "What can I do to spare him any more pain?" But Tariq took her by the chin, resolute in his course, tipping her gaze to his. "Ever since the afternoon I watched you fall from the battlements at Telekan, you felt inevitable to me. That's how much I love you." His words were effortless, just as always. "But you can no longer say the same about me, can you?" She could not look him in the eye.
"Please answer me, Shazi," he said. "It's time I heard the truth. I deserve to hear it."
When Shahrazad studied his face, she realized that, over the course of the last few days, he'd been bracing himself for this moment, though it would not make it any easier for either of them. She exhaled slowly.
"I do love you, Tariq."
With great care, Shahrazad settled a palm against his cheek.
"But he's where I live."
Tariq covered her hand with one of his, nodded once. The only acknowledgement beyond this was the smallest movement of muscle along his jaw, a staving off of emotion that betrayed him far more than any onslaught of tears ever would.
"I'm so sorry for hurting you," Shahrazad whispered,
the ache in her chest flooding into her throat. She pressed her free palm to his other cheek, conveying her regret through touch. Silly, she knew, but she could not fathom how else to make amends for such betrayal. Tariq eased back, his expression oddly distanced.
"I knew you were in love with him when I saw you together in Ray. But I've been a fool, clinging to misbegotten hope."
"Please no," Shahrazad pressed her lower lip between her teeth, certain she would draw blood.
"I never meant to cause you pain."
"My pain was my own fault. Rahim told me what you said to Taimur today, that your heart was with me, as it always would be." The taste of copper and salt struck her tongue.
You lied to save yourself. I understand," he said in a flat tone.
"But you must know that Taimur will tell the Emir of Karaj, and the rumor will spread." She blinked at him, bewildered by this sudden change of tack. Gone was any sign of vulnerability. In its place was a severe brow and a set demeanor, an abrupt return to the distance of before.
"You'll be safer in this camp, especially among the Butcher King's enemies, if we keep up appearances," he finished.
Though she had little intention of staying at the camp for long, Shahrazad knew she should say something. If not in defense of herself or of Khalid, then at least in defense of Tariq. She shook her head, gripping the shamina even tighter.
"I can't ask you to do that. I won't ask you to do that. It isn't fair."
"No, it isn't," Tariq agreed. "But you have yet to ask me to abandon this war." Her eyes went wide in surprise.
"Would you do that? Is such a thing even possible?"
"Even if it were, I would not." Tariq did not hesitate in his response. "When I set out to do something, I do not go about it lightly. And shirking my responsibility would not only be a failure to those around me, but a failure to myself."
"To those around you?" Anger flared within her, sudden and bright.
"Do you know what kind of men are around you, Tariq?" She thought of the sentry outside the tent that morning, of the Fidai brand seared into his skin. "You surrounded yourself with mercenaries, hired outlaws and assassins from all walks of life. In an attempt to overthrow a king you know nothing about. Khalid is not..."
"Hired outlaws and assassins?" Tariq laughed caustically.
"Listen to yourself, Shazi. Do you know who your husband is? Have you not heard the stories about the Caliph of Khorasan? The murdering madman? Did he or did he not kill Shiva, your best friend?" He drew out the last two words, enunciating their meaning, articulating her treachery. She bit back her retort.
"The truth is not that simple."
"Love has blinded you to the truth, but it will not blind me," Tariq said, though his eyes pooled with feeling. "There is only one remaining truth of import. Is he responsible for my cousin's death?"
Shahrazad stared at him in injured silence.
"Yes." For no matter the tale, it was the truth.
"Then it is that simple." "Tariq, please,"
She reached for him. You said you love me. I beg you to reconsider.
He backed away, trying so hard to conceal his pain.
I do love you. Nothing will change that. Just as nothing.